Did you know that in Ohio, the state Supreme Court could just ignore the reproductive rights amendment we passed last year?
But so many Ohioans voted for it.
That's why we need to keep extremists out of the court by voting for Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that.
Here's the trick. Just remember, don't stop fighting. DSF. Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes. If you supported Issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue.
Zed Heads, welcome to the podcast. I'm Jason.
And I'm Lucy.
And we're going through your feedback for The Walking Dead, Daryl Dixon, Season 2, Episode 4, La Paradise pour toi. We got a lot of feedback this week from people who did not agree with you about this episode, Lucy. We all loved it, but apparently we don't agree. No, I'm just kidding. Actually, we got...
I love it.
I think we got... I kind of just scanned it, but...
Seems like a healthy balance.
Yeah.
Yeah. I learned in a review of this episode that the title comes from the song that the older French couple are listening to.
Mm.
It's called La Paradise pour toi.
Right.
So that's my fact for the week.
I just thought it probably referred to Isabel dying, but I don't know. Going to paradise.
Also, I had eggs this morning, but no truffle. So
that's a shame.
My update. I know. It's crap.
I was trying to... I think you're going to like this. I was trying to wrap my head around why they need to clear the decks of all these characters just to make room for Carol or change plot lines.
Yeah.
And I absolutely think it seems plausible they would kill off Isabel to make room for her, mm-hmm. you know, because she's kind of Daryl's sidekick, and now we have Carol there. I think that would be a mistake. Mm-hmm. I think they could make good story with three of them, at least for a while. But I just didn't think it made sense like to write Janae out because you need bad guys. And
yeah.
I don't think it makes sense they'd make Lo Sang a bad guy because of Carol. I mean, if they needed to get rid of the nest, they could just have Janae get rid of the nest. And they're not getting rid of the nest anyway. It's still there. Lo Sang's in charge there. But I was chatting with Lara and Karen Shee this morning, and Lara mentioned, and I kind of had this in the back of my mind, but I just ignored the little voice there, which I do sometimes. But anyway, she said that how these spinoffs are less expensive than The Walking Dead because they have smaller casts and less big stars. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, maybe they're writing out the more expensive cast members to cover the cost of bringing in Melissa McBride.
Yeah.
Who might have like demanded a lot, like to be convinced to go or something, or even just her normal salary or whatever. Maybe Janae, actress Ann Sherrier, costs more than Joel De La Fuente, who plays Lo Sang, and they wrote her out and made him the bad guy or something like that, you know?
Yeah, I was thinking about that. I was talking to Karen as well, and thinking about Clemence Posey, who's a film actress and right. has headed up lots of TV shows.
So is Janae, the Janae actress, too.
Yeah, so films. It's plausible.
And if that's true, then it gives me sort of the same like pit in my stomach when Chandler Riggs got killed off because of contract negotiations, we think. Although that I feel like is worse because Walking Dead was just a huge cultural juggernaut back then with many times the amount of viewers and ad dollars than it has now, but also a lot more cast members to take care of too. But anyway, either way, if that's what happened, which I feel like there's a pretty good chance it is, then it kind of sucks, you know?
It sucks.
This whole season is like, let's deal with behind the scenes stuff and try to make the best story that we can.
You just see a like counter in the corner of cash, and every time someone dies it goes ding ding ding.
Yeah, right. And you just see these executives going, all right, here's who you're gonna have to kill off. Well, we had this story, da, 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 I don't want to hear about it.
Just yeah,
make it happen.
Clemence, you're officially too good for this show.
Yeah.
You're right.
I don't know. Anyway, let's get into the feedback. Figure we'll start with the live Steve, since it's kind of a recap to remind us what happened. So
perfect. Here we go.
Hello, the cast of us. This is Steve, and this is going to be for The Walking Dead, Daryl Dixon, Season 2, The Book of Carol, Episode 4. I'm not even going to try to say the French because I don't want to sound stupid. Well, I don't want to offend anybody. Whoa, no. Those are cannons they're bringing in. And, of course, a Gatling gun. And Carol's going to not get killed, right? Obviously not. Okay, so she was able to pull the dart out before probably anything got into her, right? At least they didn't make us wait long to see that she survived this whole shooting thing where they're making everybody into zombies. Oh, dang, Carol just stole the vehicle that has Cadron, and she's going to lead. Now she's going to lead the zombies to the fortress, right?
Right to Daryl.
This is a really long cold open. Okay, I had to pause it because that was intense. But now we're back to Isabel, and she does have the drain thing in her hand. Oh, and Lohang just killed Isabel, or stabbed her at least. So Carol is at the nest with Janae and her army, and Daryl, though, is still imprisoned by Janae, right? And of course, Carol to the rescue of Isabel, but of course, she doesn't have any clue who Isabel is, right? No, I'm confused. Daryl was being held by Lusang, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Who's there in the nest as well. So, okay, they're all in the same place. Oh, and now we got badass Daryl again. But who was that unlocked Daryl? Oh, Carol and Daryl, the reunion.
Some dude.
I had to pause it, and I know I might go long because I'm going to stick on this point, but who saved Daryl, and what happened to that person? Because all we see is this
just
kid.
Eye candy.
Who
just eye candy for me.
Older Laurent. I don't know. And he's got the keys, and the next thing we know, Daryl shakes the chains, and he's out killing bad guys. What?
Yeah.
Hey, Carol, you told Janae your whole story in like a few sentences, and now you're just going to tell Daryl, oh, that's a long story, Greenland. Daryl and Carol, speaking for the audience, you, me, here, it's crazy. It's stupid. No, it's crazy. Wait, so she wasn't talking about Rick when she said somebody came back? She was talking about a feeling? Come on.
No.
So this older couple, they had flu in Durant. Oh, the title is the song that's playing on the record, so kind of a mic drop, kind of a record drop. And they think that Carol is Isabel. Like, wouldn't Isabel be French? Oh, Carol brought a gift from Judith to Daryl. Man turned him in, and now they're facing down the barrel of a shotgun. Why is Daryl grabbing a pipe? Doesn't he still have his knives? Oh, just shot Janae with one of those darts. I guess now we're going to find out what happens when a living person gets hit with one of those. Gross. Okay, so what? Janae is dead, so now Lusang is just going to lead this army? Okay, two episodes left.
Oh, I love that. Guess we're going to find out. Gross!
We found out. We didn't really touch on this too much, but isn't it kind of weird that they had this whole thing where Falou and Laurent met with this older couple and then went on their way, and we didn't see any of it?
Yeah.
Like, we didn't see Laurent at all.
Maybe Laurent's expensive per episode.
Yeah, right. He raised his fee.
Yeah. I know, I was a bit like, oh, I guess we're just not seeing them this episode. Okay.
It's weird. It's weird. Like, can we get a couple of cheap actors to talk about where Laurent went?
Yeah. We will describe it in great detail.
Anybody want to work for free?
Yeah.
Exposure.
Stuart. Who's Stuart? Steve, thank you so much for calling in. Well, I've got Jeff Holtorf, who says, this show keeps getting better and better. I really am enjoying a smaller, more focused cast. Everyone is doing a great job.
Jeff. Read the room. No, I'm just kidding. No, I would not want to. I feel bad. Like, this is the reason why we stopped covering Fear the Walking Dead on the podcast, and we turned it into Patreon exclusive roundtable rants where we just had no holds barred. And I hope this show does improve for us so that it doesn't become that.
It's allowed a bum week. Yeah. Like, I'm not viewing it as like having jumped the shark fully. I'm viewing it.
And there
it
is
as,
good
like,
stuff too. Uh-huh. A lot of good stuff.
Like, I'm viewing it as this was not a good week, but it's not irredeemable. Like,
right. And it's all subjective too. So people like Jeff who are into it. Like, I do feel bad. Like, I'm sorry if we're trashing on something that you love. It's just like, God, we got to give our opinions. But if it turns into something that we just don't like consistently, then maybe we will stop covering it and just go back to doing rants on Patreon or something.
I mean, who's
I don't
to
like
say?
Putting this kind of thing out there consistently, negativity, you know? So hopefully it's just a dip.
Yeah, it's just a dip, and we're allowed to call it out when it's a dip.
Yes, absolutely. I'm not going to pretend to think something that I don't think. That's no good for anyone. Okay, Monica McGuire says, oh, good God, Carol's feelings. I knew this was the book of Carol, but please, this episode was a bit like watching Fear, but not that bad. Okay, I'll reset myself and not expect it to be as good as season one. It was not as bad as Fear. I totally agree with that. I mean, Fear had some good episodes in there, but how it was so consistently ridiculous at the end there, this show, in my opinion, doesn't really approach that.
Yeah, I hear you. I've got Teresa Harper, who says, I loved it. I was disappointed with Isabel's death and Carol's It Was Not a Person But a Feeling That Came Back. But other than that, I thought it was good. I laughed, I cried, and was scared. So in my humble opinion, that makes for a great show. Thanks, guys, for your hard work. It is much appreciated. Thank you for writing in, Teresa. And I'm glad that you got some laughs and some heartfelt moments in there. That's good.
And so did I. I laughed at the moment with Carol and Daryl and trying to get the car working. And I got moved by their reunion and everything. So you're right.
There were moments in there, you know, there were moments.
Andy Fisher says, Dear J-Lou, oh, that's our couple name. That's so cute.
That's amazing.
Daryl and Carol together made this episode really special to me. I've been wondering why I didn't like the show before this episode. And the Ones Who Live, Rick and Michonne, re-meet in the first episode. 6 episodes, not enough. I think things are really going to start cooking now. France, you in trouble. 5 pizzas, but no ring this week. Maybe that's because Daryl and Carol aren't. A couple.
Platonic.
Yeah. All right. Here's Johnny from Texas.
What's up, Jason and Lucy?
Yo.
This is Johnny from Texas. Although I did enjoy this episode, I'm calling in to say that it was wrong the way they killed Isabel. Mm-hmm. I think she could have had a much more honorable death. And I absolutely, positively, entirely hated the way Carol actually stated that nobody came back. It was just a quote, feeling. I hope all this leads to a good finale, because I feel like if Daryl were to hear Rick came back, if he would have heard Rick came back, he would have immediately wanted to get Laurent and get the hell back to the U.S.
Yeah.
This is insane, man. I hope they're setting up something good for the finale. And to think that they're already filming season 3, it's like, man, how much story exactly do they plan to tell? I sure hope there's an end game to this. I hope y'all enjoy the rest of y'all's week, and can't wait for episode 5.
Yeah.
Need to get that checked out.
I like that. That was cool. Thank you, Johnny. I like the kids screaming in the background as well. It added to the sense that he was turning.
I mean, yeah, no. I think Daryl does want to get Laurent and go back to the U.S. anyway. You know, he was saying that. He would go back to the U.S. if Rick was there, but that still is the plan. Maybe he would not stick around for truffles and eggs if he knew Rick was there. He'd be in a little bit more of a hurry. I don't know.
You never know. Thanks so much, Johnny. Penny Lennox says, I'm really tired of people 10 or 15 years into the zombie apocalypse saying to someone else something to the effect of, a horrible thing happened to me. You can't possibly understand loss like that. Everyone in the zombie apocalypse has witnessed or experienced horrible things. Every single person. Stop pretending that you have some unique suffering that allows you to be, in this case, a Nazi. Well put, Penny. Well put.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking about that too. That's what, who said it? Janae said it to Carol, I think. Have you ever experienced a loss like this? No, I've been fine.
Yeah, I've been great, actually. I love Barnes.
Kim Underwood Lyons, who I think she co-hosts the Brains Gone Bad podcast. Are they still doing that? I'm not sure. But when they were, it was great. She says, I've never been so happy for a villain's gory death. I wonder if Laurent really will have zombie bite immunity. They didn't reference his unusual condition of birth for no reason. Or could he become the first sentient zombie? Maybe he already is. No, I'm just kidding. It seems, though, the show has run out of ideas to keep Laurent interesting. It could explain why he's been off screen so much this season. He just demands too high of a paycheck.
I think so. He's essentially, you know, a version of Timothée Chalamet. So he's probably got a lot of lot of business out there. Next up, we have Lara Willie Swink. Just listening now to the podcast, and thought I'd mention, Jason, that I don't think Isabel was being sacrilegious by saying Jesus was a man who could bleed and die. From a Christian point of view, Jesus was a mortal man put on earth to suffer and die like all humans do. Maybe if she said she did not believe in the resurrection, it would indicate she's lost her faith. But I think her point was all these prophets and messiahs were exceptional humans, but can still bleed and die, as can Laurent. That is a very good theological point, Lara.
I would go for that, except if you're saying, oh no, Laurent's not special. He's just like Jesus, who died and then was resurrected and now is living forever. I'm not sure it's a great argument.
I mean, she was like in a pretty bad way at the point while she was saying this, you know?
Yeah, right. Give her a little bit of leeway. Here's Archmaester Rennie.
Rennie.
Lucy and Jason. What? 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 I just wanted to tell you both, I totally agree with you about the direction that this season is going, unfortunately. But I wanted to call in to say something that will make Jason happy. And that is that I went by the drop-in ballot box this morning.
Yay.
To
Yay.
Leave my ballot. And there was a car ahead of me dropping off a ballot. And there was a car that pulled up right behind me dropping up a ballot. So people are voting. Yay.
Yeah. Good. Yeah, there's I think record early voting right now.
I really wish I could vote at this point, but I'm just so proud of all of you that are voting in and saying that you have. It makes such a difference.
Yeah, it's great.
Especially women, you have to fight for the right to vote, man. So use it. Use it or lose it. That's what I say.
Okay, Nathan Eshelman says, this feels a little bit like Morgan coming into season four of Fear. The show's original characters that we've grown to become invested in are now sacrificial cows, so AMC can tell stories with its safe, pre-established best friend duo. Isabel's final scene didn't have any space to breathe. It was hard for me to get invested in the sadness of the moment because it was surrounded by action sequences and the Daryl and Carol reunion hug. Nothing against Carol, but I did prefer the show as a Daryl fish-out-of-water story. Yeah, I mean, the reason why this almost makes me feel more upset than what happened on Fear, maybe, is because Fear had new showrunners that came in season four, and they wanted to put their own stamp on it, create their own characters, and they didn't really understand the existing characters and ended up killing a lot of them off. Here we have the same writers who had a good story going. Like, keep it going, man, you know?
Yep. Nathan. Chantel Gillies says, hey, Jason and Lucy, this episode was so emotional. Isabel's death was awful, but not a shock. It seems Carol's past is most definitely catching up with her, and it's heartbreaking to see her this way. I cried when Daryl saw Carol. This, to me, was their best reunion yet. Both their tears and emotions felt real. My biggest shock and total letdown was when Daryl asked Carol, so you said someone was back, but not the answer we were waiting for. My only hope is that we eventually get the ultimate reunion where they get back home. Carol, Daryl, Rick and Michonne, and of course our Judith. I wish they made the series a little longer, but it is what it is. R.I.P. Janae. Yeah.
It is what it is.
It is what it is. It is what it is.
It might just be something we didn't realize it was. Natalie Collins says, I would totally watch a Carol and Codrone show. She's got a few bullet points here. Those amped up Zeds are scary. Losang, WTF. That's not how I imagine those two meeting. I presume she means Daryl and Carol. Daryl lifting his chained arm without saying a word. Love it. That's a pretty cool scene. The reunion. Oh, bollocks. I presume that means Isabel. The conversation about them being in France is delightful. Is Carol lying to Daryl about who came back? No, I don't think so.
We wish.
The Zed strung up along the road is visually stunning. Can this old dude be trusted? No, I can't tell. She's lovely, though. Interesting town tour. Maybe you're too much. Ha ha ha. Damn, that's what I have to say about everything from the eggs on. Oh, that's after, at the end. But then she listened to our podcast. P.S. Now that the TV episode and the podcast episode are out, this season annoys me. The first season was so good. I feel like adding Carol was a mistake. I would still watch a Carol Codrone show, but not sure how much more of this I will put up with. And I love Daryl.
Oh.
See, that's
Carol
what...
and Codrone would be quite funny, actually, to be fair.
I resist... What am I feeling here? I feel bad that this negative energy about the show would be directed at either the character of Carol or especially Melissa McBride, which I don't, maybe it's not being directed at Melissa McBride at all,
think
but
that's what...
but I think they could have brought Carol in a way that was totally awesome. And honestly, right now, Carol's my favorite part of this show. Like, every scene she's in, I am loving. I mean, the only thing I'm a little critical of is this whole PTSD thing around Sophia. Seems like a weird time for it to come up, but I could accept that. But the other stuff, like all the stuff with Ash and her interactions with Daryl and even the Greenland stuff, I liked all of that.
Yeah. Yeah. There's just some things not coming together, I feel like, but we'll see how the next two go.
Mm-hmm. Also, one of the listeners, I won't say who in case they don't want me to say, but you know, these episodes leaked. Did you know that?
No.
So people got a hold of them.
Oh.
So one of the listeners who I think saw them all said, just didn't want to spoil me, but was like, these final two episodes and then like a sad emoji or something. So I don't know. Okay. It's all subjective, but I'm not holding my breath for anything great here.
Okay, let's see.
We'll see. All right, here's another call from Gloria.
Bonjour, Jason and Lucy. It's Gloria from Salem.
Bonjour. Yeah.
So this is for episode 4 of the Carol and Daryl Show. It seemed like the first half of it was all about suspension of disbelief. I mean, I can understand Carol playing dead, but then getting shot with that dot that was full of God knows what. I mean, I know she was wearing leather, but come on. Then she runs to the Jeep with a bunch of people with guns staring at her and no one shoots her. I mean, what are you doing, guys? And then, of course, no one hits Cadron either. I had a feeling that Isabel would die in this episode. I'm sure we all did. It was sad, but I wasn't as affected as I probably thought it should have been. Yeah, whatever. She's a great actress, but I did not want her and Daryl together, for sure. My favorite scene was the reunion, of course. Yes, tears. And that scene between Carol and Dee Dee, really sweet. And then again, them at the barn. Oh my God, PTSD makes another appearance. I really hoped at that point that Daryl and Carol would leave them still alive. But, you know, and when they were working on the car, oh my God, they were bickering like an old married couple. Of course they were. It was pretty funny. And my second favorite scene, Dee Dee, God, I loved her so much. Comparing Janae to the Nazis, perfect. That was hilarious. Oh my God. Total justice is what Janae got. That's how karma works, you know? So this was a great episode. I am looking forward to next week. I really hope that they find Laurent soon. And it's the fourth episode and they finally reunite. Great. But I think it was a little too much, a little too long for us. It was only six episodes. Okay. That's it for me. Au revoir.
Au revoir.
Au revoir. Au revoir.
Thanks, Gloria. I think it was a pretty good middle ground to have them reunite mid-season. So it didn't take too long, but didn't make it so that she just flew to France and saw Daryl right away in the first episode, you know.
She wasn't there in two seconds. Yeah.
Did you know that in Ohio, the state Supreme Court could just ignore the Reproductive Rights Amendment we passed last year?
But so many Ohioans voted for it.
That's why we need to keep extremists out of the court by voting for Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that.
Here's the trick. Just remember, don't stop fighting. DSF. Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes. If you supported Issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue.
Our friend Wyman Owen has written in. He says, well, I think the Carol and Daryl reunification project was well worth the wait. I think it played out very well. I may be a grown man, but yes, I welled up with emotion. It was a great moment. Thoroughly enjoyed.
Grown men can cry. It's fine.
Yeah, it's absolutely fine. Now on to the rest of it. They did Isabel dirty. Lusang or Wutang, whatever his name is, gets to go all stabby stab. Not cool. Not cool. I feel sad for Daryl. He's overcome with emotion that Carol is here in France only to learn 5 minutes later that the girl he made smoochies with is gone. Poor guy. Yeehaw, Janae is dead, but damn, what a way to go. I have those itches in the middle of my back sometimes. I can't reach them either. Couldn't help but chuckle. Look out, Lusang. Carol and Daryl versus your messed up army. You are going to need more red shirts to make it fair. you're about to get lit up by the great war hero of Terminus. And if you happen to fight on a field of flowers, you had better say your prayers because you're going to be dead. Needless to say, I enjoyed this episode much more than the last two. I just hope Ash has room for three more people on his plane. Hope you all enjoyed it as well. Talk to you next week. Bye. Yeah, the size of the plane seems to be something that Carol and Ash haven't really considered.
Yeah, I don't know.
When going to get Sophia and Ed.
Yeah, yeah. There must be room for more people. But if it's Daryl, he can just sit on the wing because he's badass.
Oh, yeah. He'd just be like hanging from the bottom like, yeah.
But there must be more. There must be room at least for one more person. Or,
there's got to be. They've got
bags in
there.
I guess you're right. Ash would have presumed that Carol would want to take her husband as well. So yeah, two more people.
I really hope so, you know?
Her husband, Ed, who looks just like Norman Reedus.
Yeah. I did love that suggestion from a listener that she'd be like, oh, Ed.
Right.
Like, yeah.
So
yeah,
when he brings Daryl and Laurent back, he's just going to have Laurent speak in a higher voice.
Yeah. Hello.
Oh, je m'appelle Sophia.
Je m'appelle Sophia. Like, all right, cool.
Becky Anderson says, sigh, I really didn't like this episode. Even suspension of disbelief couldn't save the majority of this episode. So much that was too convenient, and even more that didn't make sense. The actors mostly did their part, but the story writing was terrible. I'm sad Issa is gone. How she went down was terrible and made no sense. She deserved so much better. Is it just me, or did Daryl not really seem too upset about her death in the moment? No, it's not just you. Lucy definitely
really felt
that.
Yeah.
I was so excited for Carol, K-A-R-Y-L, to reunite, but sadly it fell flat for me. And then Carol tells him it was, quote, just a feeling that came back. What? It's almost like you could be writing this, Lucy. There were some sweet moments between the two, but for the most part, it wasn't what I thought it was going to be. The only surprise in this episode was Janae's face exploding. I wasn't expecting her to go so early this season, but her end was satisfying. The whole Losang story makes no sense and is stupid. How does the Losang we started with end up with the guy who kills Issa and then take over Janae's army? Dumb. This episode ended and all I could think was, there's another season of this coming? Jesus.
Wow.
Knowing what I know now, I would rather them have waited until the end of the season to bring Carol back, and maybe next season be them making their way back to America. Here's hoping they make this mess of an episode up to us with the remaining episodes, but I'm sadly not too optimistic. Yeah, me neither.
Oh, bless you, Becky. I hear you.
Yep. All right. Here's another call from Carly Jackson.
Hey, Jason and Lucy. This is Carly in Santa Fe. I had a few thoughts about this episode of Daryl Dixon. The pacing was really off. I thought it was very disrespectful to Isabel to have her die in the beginning of an episode. They should have given us that time for like a somber ending at the end of an episode, or maybe just not killed her off at all. I think it's really weird that they killed her off as soon as Carol showed up. Like, it's impossible to have two women travel with Daryl.
Yeah.
I mean, it would have been really interesting to see that dynamic of Carol and Daryl and Isabel all together. I liked the French couple. I was waiting for them to turn out to be evil, you know, like in the old episodes of the original show where you're like, who is this new character? Is this an evil person or is this a good person? Mm-hmm. And so that was some fun tension, but I just really liked them.
Yeah, me too. And I'm glad it wasn't that they were like poisoning the truffles or they were cannibals or something, but it was more like he was trying to be practical in a way that was super cowardly, but is sort of what people did in World War II. So it made them feel like real people, you know?
Yeah. You all want to think you do the absolute best, but also
when your life
you
is
don't.
On the line. Yeah. Maybe. Not. Yeah. Who knows?
Yeah.
And I, you know, it's so frustrating. I mean, I agree with all of your frustrations with the writing. It was a really amazing setup to have Daryl start to allow himself to have these romantic feelings for Isabel after all these years, and to have his protectiveness over Laurent, and it's his own development separate from Carol, you know, that we haven't seen in a while. And to have two old friends come together and one of them is growing and changing as a person, that has so much potential for an interesting story. And they just kind of threw it away by killing Isabel.
Mm-hmm.
So also, I mean, with Carol, there was potential that they didn't capitalize on, where, you know, she's finally confronting her grief and trauma over losing Sophia, and she's lying to people about it. She's hiding it from people, but she can't hide that from Daryl because he knows her. He was there. And so there's this whole other avenue of story direction that they could show Carol needing to be genuine, because she literally can't lie to Daryl because he knows the truth, and his very presence makes her confront the past as it really was and not as she would describe it in her, you know, manipulative lies. So we lost that potential too, I think.
I don't know about that. I feel like that's where they're going with it. Don't you think?
In what sense?
Well, they've set this whole thing up where Carol's having to confront her past with Sophia and what happened. And she's, as Carly's saying, lying to Ash about it and presenting it as a whole different picture. But now that she's with Daryl, she can't do that. I feel like that's still an ongoing concern for this season, you know, so we have to see where they go with it.
Yeah, I think that's something that it's got to come to a head at some point.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm open-minded about that.
I really, really hate that Carol was using Isabel's name. I thought Daryl should have been furious about that. It was very weird. And this is coming from someone who wanted a romantic relationship between Carol and Daryl for years. But I found it weird and I did not like it. One gem in the story, the truffle in the mud, as Jason was saying, is when Janae asks Carol if she's ever felt that kind of loss, and Carol just kind of laughs. I was like, I really just love that reaction. That just felt really real. So anyway, I hope I'm not too late with this.
Yeah, I felt all that. Carly. And that's such a good point. I felt some, again, like a little voice that I didn't listen to about Carol using Isabel's name, because it's like, if you really want to hammer the point home that, yeah, Carol just came in and shoved Isabel out, then just have her use her name. Like, yep, I'm totally taking her place. Je m'appelle Isabel.
I just love that. For like, wouldn't Isabel be French? I'm like, yeah. Oh, Carly, thanks for calling in.
Thank you, Carly.
Matt King has written in, and he says, I was wondering how Jason and Lucy would react to this and those two major deaths. Not positively, it seems, from the start of the podcast. It certainly feels like a different show to season one, like it was rewritten hastily after Melissa agreed to join for season two. Perhaps it would have been better to end as a single season. However, there are good moments in there. The rehabilitation of Caudron, seeing Daryl and Carol together again, and the introduction of Ash. I think for this season, you just have to lower your expectations a lot, and then you can enjoy it for what it is. If you think it will be at the same level as season one or peak era Walking Dead, then you will be sorely disappointed. If you just go with it and try not to get annoyed with the glaring missteps, it's not bad. It certainly isn't anywhere near as bad as Fear. I had enough of that midway through season two. P.S. Totally off topic, but those who love Lenny James from his days as Morgan, his new show, Mr. Loverman, on the BBC in the UK currently, is absolutely fantastic and his performance incredible. Episode 7 of 8 in particular was so emotional. Hopefully it will make its way across to the US soon so you can all get to see it. Matt, that is my weekend plan, is to catch up on Mr. Loverman. It's meant to be.
Yeah, brilliant. I'm excited to hear that it's good. I don't know if we can watch it here. I have to look into that. Sometimes.
I think they'll release it soon. Yeah, I can't imagine that though.
It might be here now. I don't know. Do they still have that BBC America? I think so. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't like when people, nothing personal, Matt, but when people say, oh, just lower your expectations, you know, like turn your brain off and you'll love it. I need something inspiring or something to really, that lights me up. Not like, oh yeah, if I just don't think too hard, then this will be great. You know,
I hear you.
But I appreciate you trying to help us like the show more. Okay. Lara Willie Swink. Oh, I guess she had a couple in here. I should have put them together. Anyways, she says, ugh, I can't believe it. I knew it was coming, but they did it. They fridged Isabel.
Yeah.
The fridging, by the way, is a term that came up in the Green Lantern comic book where the Green Lantern's girlfriend got stuffed into a refrigerator by a villain. And there was a lot of criticism about women just being used as a way, you know, to have horrible deaths just to see how the male character will react to it, which people find really disrespectful. So they fridged Isabel. Apparently any female besides Carol that Daryl opens his heart to will get the Gwen Stacy treatment. similar thing that happened with Spider-Man's girlfriend. I really feel like the deaths so far this season, Emil, Sylvie, and now Isabel, are so completely hollow and unnecessary. Why did Lo Sang take Isabel to a separate room to give her a strong talking to re-indoctrinate her? It seemed to make no sense. I don't understand why they let Isabel hang out with Daryl for a little while and then came and grabbed her again. That's what I, it's just like, oh, so she can have a conversation with Daryl. Plus, either Lo Sang is simply amazing at covering up his devious, murderous side that we had no hint of it in season one, or we just saw the biggest 180 ever in the series, from pacifist to killer in 0.2 seconds. I love the sweet couple of Theo, oh, I guess the name is Theo, and Dee Dee, who have somehow lived to a ripe old age in near pastoral peace with their zombie neighbors, of course, until Daryl and Carol show up. Then he turns into a dick and she, of course, dies. The death of Janae, however, was a real surprise for me, and oh so gruesome. Well, I'm still here for gorgeous shots of Mont Saint-Michel at night in the moonlight or picturesque Norman villages, and also here for Daryl and his Trey Chic suspenders clubbing walkers with a mace. I think it's a flail, but yeah. But Le Sai, I'm just not feeling it as much this season.
Oh, Lara.
Yeah.
From pacifist to killer in 0.2 seconds is the name of Morgan's motivational video series.
Right.
I don't know if you've seen them. They're great.
Yeah. And then the sequel, and back again.
Yeah. A Morgan's tale. Billy Thompson says, hello, hello. Hope you guys are doing well. I am, Billy. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. First off, the amount I had to spend my disbelief in the opening wasn't great. I wish the escape from Janae was a bit more badass or clever. Just lucking out on not getting shot and making a run for it seems a bit underwhelming. The mortar was perfectly hitting the entrance of the nest too, and Carol just bobbing and weaving her way through the bullets like a prime Mike Tyson was very questionable. Really wasn't expecting Isabel and Janae to meet their ends already. It's a bit of a bummer. It does feel rushed over these last two episodes, and I think if there was maybe three quarters more episodes, oh no, three or four more episodes, sorry Billy, the pacing would be a lot better and the story beats could be a lot more fleshed out and believable. I did enjoy a few things this episode though. The scene of them finally meeting, both Melissa and Norman crushed it. Daryl looked like a lost child finding his mum again. Oh, Billy, your description of it has moved me more than the scene itself. Also, when they're both admiring their surroundings for a moment and realizing just how crazy and stupid their situation they're in is. Janae's death scene was brilliant. All the veins and twitching was really cool to see. You guys have to watch the episode Insider to see how Nicotero filmed it. So gruesome. Oh, I actually will.
Yeah,
oh, how could I forget Cadron strung up on the car like a French Mad Max was awesome. Unfortunately, I can't see the pacing being any better for the last two episodes after watching the preview, but let's hope for a strong ending to the season. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Bye.
Bye, Billy. Bye.
Let's hope.
Fingers crossed.
Josie Bowen-Echtel said, I love the way Daryl's grief played out this episode. It felt true to his character. We could see that love for Isabel and Laurent, and it made my heart happy that Carol could see and identify it within Daryl so quickly. Mm. Yeah, he did. To me, it was more like she saw it, but I saw it a little bit. And Lucy saw it not at all.
I saw it. Carol saw it a lot. Jason saw it a little. And Lucy saw it not at all.
So to Lucy, it was more like Daryl was wearing like a blue jacket. And Carol was like, that's a nice red jacket you have on. Seeing something that totally wasn't there. Anyway, Josie goes on. There were a lot of things that I had to ignore in order to properly appreciate the episode. But I tried to be more open because last week's episode bummed me out so bad. I didn't even write in. Yeah, I didn't like that one either. Love the coverage on it, but the episode was lackluster for me. Anyways, I love getting the reunion finally. This episode had all my favorite Daryl and Carol things. The snarky quips, the unwavering support, the clear love, and of course the sheer badassery. The poetic justice of Janae's death was great and gory. Sweet Dee Dee, I was just waiting for those two to show their villainy, but was glad to see it was only one of them at least. They were adorable, and their little village of old folk walkers was fascinating. And yeah. I mean, I don't want to stand up for Theo, her boyfriend, too much, but at least when she, like, found out what he was doing and just was like, you fucker, then he was like, okay, I'll help you.
She called him old fool, and he was like, oh, shit, I fucked up.
Right. Sorry. So sweet, they were adorable. If any of you don't see behind the scenes bits after the show via AMC Plus, I highly recommend. Greg Nicotero has some great zombie things to share with us this week. Oh, I gotta watch that. I hate that there are so few episodes left. This whole 6-episode thing is bullshit, and it really does have such an effect on the storytelling and depth of characters. I did enjoy how much they talked about the Commonwealth and Judith. Yeah, me too, I guess. I'm eager to see what happens next. Can't wait to hear y'all's thoughts on my commute tomorrow. This podcast is seriously the highlight of my work week. Getting feedback episodes and an initial episode in 1 week feels like Christmas. Thanks for all you do. Well, thanks for saying that, Josie. And hope you still feel the same way after you heard the episode.
Thanks, Josie.
Really nice. All right, here is a call from Dodie.
Oh, Dodie. Yay.
Hi, Jason and Lucy. This is Dodie from Wells, Maine. I just finished listening to your podcast. Now, usually, I've experienced listening to a podcast and loving an episode more after I hear what you have to say. In this case, I like the episode less after listening to you.
Oh,
I think it's because while I was watching it, I wanted it to be better than it really was.
Been there.
And they got me with the reunion between Daryl and Carol. And the French couple in the town of Old Zombies charmed me, but while I listened to your podcast, I realized that all through the episode, and I've only watched it once, I was stuffing down reactions I didn't want to have. For instance, why is Carol leading the zombies to the place where she knows Daryl is instead of away from there? Because that's what I thought she was doing at first. At this point, if I'm right, she knows nothing about the people inside those walls except that they're the people who took Daryl in. They're the enemy of this horrible woman who just tried to kill her. Then she gets inside and not only kills every zombie she sees, which I would expect, but basically anyone she sees at all with no idea who they are or what their relationship to Daryl might
be. That's right.
Yep.
And then she runs into Isabel, whom she also knows nothing about, and suddenly her demeanor changes. She's been so focused on doing anything she can to get to Daryl. But she doesn't ask if this woman knows him. She's just suddenly solicitous and caring and helpful.
Yeah.
Nothing like the woman she was 5 minutes before. It's not that I found her caring inconsistent with who Carol really is. It's just that it's such a sudden change in the moment that it gives me whiplash.
It doesn't make sense.
It also felt off that when they were with the elderly couple, Carol went on letting them think that she was Isabel. And would she do that?
Yeah, why?
I'm with Jason on the moment of reunion. That felt touching and real to me. But Lucy, you were so right about the way the scenes following Isabel's death trivialized her character and her importance to Daryl.
Yeah.
I think he was seeing a real future with the both of them. He should have been given time to brood and to grieve.
Yeah.
Most of all, I agree that the whole plot of this season feels like a retrofitting, which does such a disservice to the first season, which I loved. The zombie action was quite good, and Janae's death seemed fitting. The story feels patchwork. And don't even get me started on the who came back question. Blame. At this point, I'm rather looking forward to returning to the rewatch.
Yeah.
A little early Walking Dead. Well, take some bad taste out of my mouth. But I'm in till the end. Where Carol and Daryl go, I will follow.
Yeah.
Oh.
Thanks, guys, for your great coverage.
Thank you.
Bye. Oh, bye. I feel like Who Came Back is going to be the jumped shark of The Walking Dead now. That's going to be it's the new Glenn under the dumpster. We're like, Carol, who came back? Oh, yeah. Your feelings? Oh, okay, cool.
Right. I mean, please, just have Carol say she was kidding about that. Film an extra scene right now, and you can stop this from being the legacy of the show.
Opening scene of next episode. Yeah. Oh, I meant to say it was Rick, feelings. Show is saved.
That was a great message, Dodie. Thank you.
Oh, I loved it. Dodie, you're so thoughtful. Andrea Abarca says, hi, Jason and Lucy. I'm writing in about Daryl's episode. My lord. Let's try that again, Andrea. Hi, Jason and Lucy. I'm writing in about Daryl Dixon, episode 4, Le Paradis pour toi. Before I comment on the episode, I just want to tell you you've been making my Mondays so much better. I watch the episode, wake up the next day like, ugh, it's Monday. Then I remember, ooh, I get to listen to Jason and Lucy. Yay! Anyway, just thought you should know that.
Thank you.
As for the episode, so I pretty much knew you guys were probably not going to like it. Daryl and Carol can do no wrong in my eyes, but I also had my issues with it. I'll start with what I loved, the reunion. Someone had spoiled it for me on a Facebook group, but even so, I still cried. I saw a clip from NY Comic Con with Norman Reedus talking about it. He broke mid-sentence because he got so emotional, and then Melissa got emotional. Their friendship is so genuine, and they bring it to the screen, and I still felt their moment. Also, the banter between them. The car was really hilarious when Carol mumbled under her breath, "You're too much." I just laughed. It did seem like Daryl didn't really mourn Isabel enough, but in his defense, it's kind of a move on or die situation. Maybe there will be more acknowledgement of her in the last two episodes.
They'll be like, Laurent's like, "Where's Isabel? She died." And he'll be like, "Oh, crap. Oh, well."
Merde. Laurent sips some wine and smokes a cigarette like, we'll move on with life.
Such
like,
is life.
Okay. Such is life, you know. You know, he's taking on Janae's characteristics. Andrea says, so as far as the rest of the episode, to me, it felt like they had a checklist. Carol gets into castle. Check. Finds Daryl. Check. Oh, we need to get rid of extra baggage. Isabel dies. Check. And so on. I also felt like it was rushed too. Not only did they not acknowledge Isabel's death, but Daryl went from hugging Carol and crying to telling her to hurry up and being gruff with her. Excuse me, buddy, I just came halfway across the world to get you. Janae's death was surprising. All the talking instead of shooting reminded me of Austin Powers. I can't remember the scene, but I do remember them make fun of how villains give these big speeches instead of shooting. So yeah, the whole thing was kind of dumb. Anyway, still love my Daryl and Carol. We'll see what next week brings. Love you guys. Oh, thanks, Andrea. We love you too.
Very Austin Powers.
I always think about the scene with the steamroller.
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking of. No!
It's like a mile away. So good.
Karen, she says, I love the what exchange between Daryl and Carol. Did you listen to the podcast this week, by the way?
Yes, I love the intro.
What about the end? Did you listen to the end?
I didn't get to the end yet. I'm halfway through.
I was like, I play that, what? And then there's this ominous music, which is the scene where Rick goes, what?
Excellent. I love that.
Karen says, that's going to be my new ringtone. It also echoes how I sounded while watching the episode.
What?
I agree 100% with your guys' critique. I mean, the plot armor and mental gymnastics plus all the tonal shifts here, geez. I like your truffles in the mud analogy, Jason, because I did enjoy certain moments. I still cried at Daryl and Carol's reunion, even though I also thought it was anticlimactic. Janae's death was awesome. Greg Nicotero, you sick genius. But Isabel's death, ugh. She could have died from a bite or in combat or something. Instead, it felt like a last-minute choice to clear house, and it did nothing to service the story. If anything, Isabel's death gives us the same beats with Daryl. We've seen him grieve so many people before. Let's see him thrive in love. True character growth would be having a well-adjusted, confident Daryl with a romantic partner, and keep Daryl and Carol platonic. We have so many representations of hetero-romantic relationships in pop culture already.
Yeah.
Plus, it would just feel weird to have them hook up now. I don't think they're going to do that, do you?
No, I don't think so.
I hope not.
Yeah.
Even if they, like, flirt with the idea or explore it, I think they'll decide not to. I hope to God. I don't think Carol's presence made the quality of the show go down, per se, but it does seem like the writers were on one track with the French characters, and then they quickly pivoted the narrative when the series got renewed for season 3. A new season means that AMC wanted known quantities in Norman and Melissa and didn't want to additionally shell out money for Clemence Poesy, Emile, Sylvie, and... for Clemence Poesy. Emile, Sylvie, and Isabel deserved a nobler ending, as did their actors. AMC is The Walking Dead universe's true villain.
I mean, what? Ain't that the truth?
I mean, in some defense of AMC... Kirkman shopped The Walking Dead around to different networks, and HBO and I think NBC both were going to take it on, but they said, you got to take out all that blood, you know? And they're like, no, that's not what this is. And AMC was like, you can do whatever you want. Greg Nicotero, go to town. So AMC really gave it the home that allowed it to become the thing that it was, but they were just stingy with the money the whole time.
They seem to, I think it's a TV wide thing at the moment, isn't it? There was this huge peak where everyone was investing and spending, and then all of a sudden they're like, oh, we're now worried about balancing the numbers because there's so much stuff in the market is oversaturated. And yeah, I think AMC have just made some shitty decisions.
Well, yeah, and throughout the whole, like, let's throw all our money into streaming and millions just to so we can be bigger than everyone else, AMC was stingy that whole time too. Like they yeah. weren't like the other streamers that were just spending lavishly. They were all, at least from the articles that came out, complaints by Frank Darabont, complaints by Robert Kirkman, they were always stingy. And you can see that because every scene is shot in the same stretch of either highway or Georgia forest.
It's all just one road. Yeah.
Anyway, what does, I don't know how to run a network, so I guess I can't.
Yeah, I know. I mean, they
much,
don't ask us, do they?
So yeah, no, thank God. It would be way worse. What does make me happy is hearing how many people have registered to vote because of this podcast. Bravo, yay. Jason and Lucy, for getting people civically engaged. My first time voting was in 2008, a truly historic election. I remember feeling like we all made history together. Like I was part of something bigger than myself. I volunteered as a poll worker in 2012, and my friends and I even launched a website called Suffrage Over Silence in 2020. Wow. That broke down each state's voting rules and regulations. My musician friend started a civic happy hour in lieu of a merchandise table during her concerts this year so that we could register folks to vote and get them to write vote forward letters. Yeah, that's Vienna Tang. Me and Karen and David went to one of her concerts with Karen Shee, and it was really cool.
Oh, wow.
She said, we have 2 weeks to be a part of history again. Don't be a zombie and just accept the status quo. Vote to make the change you want to see. I would say be a zombie and be hungry for change.
Oh, I mean, both great slogans.
Thanks, Karen. All right. Rebecca Cantu Davidson is next. Here we
Yay,
go.
Rebecca.
Hi, Jason and Lucy. This is Rebecca from Houston. I'm sending in my feedback for the latest episode of the Daryl Dixon Show. I'm annoyed. I'm frustrated. You guys are right. Everybody's acting out of character. Like, I get it. You're in a whole new setting, whole new kind of, not really, but sort of new set of circumstances, and you gotta change and adapt. But this is just so, like Jason was saying, it's so contrived. The plot feels so forced. Their decisions feel so forced. And I don't like it. I'm uncomfortable. I do like Daryl's action movie star scenes. I do enjoy those. Mm-hmm. You could tell he's like, oh, can we like do this? And then maybe we'll do that. Like, I'm so interested to be a fly on the wall when they're discussing those scenes. I'm not happy that Isabel died. They just like convinced me that Daryl had some serious feelings for someone, and he acted on it because we knew he liked Connie for a while, but he never like acted on it. And Leah, well, we don't talk about Leah. but I was really rooting for them to be like a family unit, and like they would like go back with Carol back to the U.S. or whatever. But I'm really annoyed about this. I don't like that they just, you know, she died and they just moved on to the mysterious neighborhood of the old people. Yeah. And then the old people turn on them. And except for the old lady, she luckily, I guess, stood up for them. But I'm just really annoyed. I'm going to keep watching, obviously. But I just wanted to call in and share that the only word I can think of is annoyed. I hope the payoff is going to be there, but I'm not optimistic about that. Yeah, the whole when Daryl asked Carol, so who came back when you were on the radio, and she's like, oh, a feeling. I'm like, oh my God, that is such bullshit. Like, the payoff, if she had said Rick and Michonne came back, like, the payoff would have been like, I feel like Daryl would have been like, well, fuck Laurent, let's go right now. Let's go back. But maybe that's why Carol didn't say that. Maybe she made that whole feeling thing up to give Daryl some time to come to terms with, or give him a chance to find Laurent, and then she could tell him, actually, Rick and Michonne are home. We can go. Maybe that's the way to convince him to go home. Hated it. We'll see where it goes. So don't get bit. Talk to you later. Bye.
Would you have liked it better if, so last season when Carol said, came home, the writers intended that to be Rick, but this season they decided to change it. And so instead she said Heath. Would that be better than what she did say?
It would make me laugh. It would really make me laugh because surely Daryl's response would be like, who?
Who? Huh? You remember that one dude?
That one guy? He went off to do 24. I like the idea that Carol's like, dude, did you not watch The Ones Who Live? Like, it was premium television.
It's the best Walking Dead spinoff.
That really made me laugh, Rebecca. Fuck Laurent. Oh, amazing. All right, we have an email from Bethany Watrous. Hi, Lucy and Jason. Bethany from York here? Mm. Bethany, you live in York? That's interesting. I didn't know that anyone lived in York who listened to the podcast. I live there too. Nice to hear from you. Bethany says, got my mail and ballot off a few weeks ago. Hope everyone gets out and votes. Okay, so can we just get a redo?
She can't. Wait, that's not. Maybe that's New York?
No.
If she's voting.
You can mail in from over here, my friend James.
Oh, so she's American?
Yeah.
In New York? Okay.
I hope so. Like, I don't know anyone here. I have no friends. I'm kidding. I know like two people. So Bethany says, okay, so can we just get a redo on this entire season? They've basically undone all the good storytelling they had set up last season in the most terrible way. I think I sprained my eyeballs from rolling them so much. What, Carol? It was a feeling that had come back? Come on. It's like you guys said, they are really insulting the viewer with how stupid the writing is. So much is being so clearly broadcasted, like Isabel's death and the old man turning on them. The minute he started talking to them, I knew he was going to do something to stab them in the back.
They sort of ran away as soon as he got that look in his eye. You gotta try these truffles. Come on, try the truffles.
Right. Especially, says Bethany, when he was going on about doing business with the Nazis in order to have a slightly better life. They whizzed through Isabel's death and Daryl's not so mourning of her just to then spend what felt like a year with an old couple on a farm. I couldn't even get sad about Isabel's death because I was too mad about how ridiculously stupid it was. They really did her a disservice. I'm also disappointed by how the Nest characters have turned out.
Mm-hmm.
Last season, I literally teared up at the idea of this beautiful society of people who came together despite being of all different religions to support each other. Now they are mindless child-sacrificing cultists who will partner with the enemy just to prove what? That God is on their side? Losang's character no longer makes any sense. Mm-hmm. Bethany, I think you put that very well.
Yep.
She goes on, and Carol doesn't really resemble the Carol we know from the main show. She meets someone and 2 seconds later, she's telling them secrets about her life that she didn't even tell her core group for the last 12 years.
Sometimes when you're on vacation, you do things that you wouldn't do at home.
And she's warm and motherly to dying Isabel, even though she has no idea who this person is. When was Carol ever warm and motherly except when she was faking it for a disguise? I'm a little surprised that Melissa McBride and Norman Reedus haven't pushed back on some of this since they are executive producers. I really don't feel that there's any way of salvaging this the way they've gone now. There could have been a great storyline of Carol joining them at the Nest and them all fighting Shanae's group. And then during the fighting, Laurent gets bit but doesn't turn, and they decide to take him home to America so that the evil corporation won't do testing that could kill him. Oh wait, maybe I've seen that somewhere already. In a well-written story. Smiley face. Okay, bye! I don't know at all what you could be referring to, Bethany.
That's a great email, though. Hope you write in more.
Yes, you're absolutely. Funny. And tell us which York you're in. We're interested.
Is it the new one or the old one?
New one or the old one.
Pan says, forgive the length of my remarks here, but I've had some thoughts. First off, I find it incredibly disappointing that Carol's, quote, came back, somebody came back line was just about some feeling she had about the Commonwealth. We were left hanging for a year to find out that she wasn't talking about Rick, which makes it all the more disappointing. When we had The Ones Who Live in between the first and second season of this spinoff. Yeah, I'm hoping she only said that to Daryl so they could focus on the task at hand, but it doesn't seem likely. I think I might have called it in my comments on episode 2 when I said that we couldn't be more than an episode or two away from Carol and Daryl's reunion. Look, that scene was worth the wait and a total emotional payoff, but that payoff was muted mere minutes later when Isabel died. Was it not just a little odd that Daryl's reaction to her death was so downplayed? It was odd. I was expecting a bit more heartbreak, especially considering Norman Reedus showed some true emotion when Daryl and Carol finally met. It's still fantastic to have Melissa McBride and Norman Reedus on screen together again, though. Generally, I like the fact that the writers haven't forgotten about Sophia's death and the impact it had on Carol, but I can't help but wonder, why was none of this trauma shown on the flagship series? It feels more than a little shoehorned in to give Carol some personal conflict, although it's still relevant because she's lied to Ash about going to France to find Sophia. Yeah, that's a good point. Still, I love the emotion in the scene with the French woman and how it was a pure mother-to-mother moment where they each recognize the other's loss. They could have done so much more with Janae. Well, she'll be back.
Yeah, you know, she'll turn up.
I'm guessing that with her death, that makes Losang the big bad now. I think Janae's death was among the most gratuitous and shocking in the franchise. I did not expect that. Finally, how on earth is Carol going to get Ash to fly them back to America? Has she planned for that? I think she just knows that she can get people to do stuff, and so she's going to figure it out when the time comes.
Yeah.
She says she's going to show up with Daryl and Laurent and be like, well, I couldn't find my daughter, but here's these other two people I never mentioned. The extra passengers, one being an adult, also means a lot of extra fuel that they're going to need for the flight, too. Well, as we were saying earlier, I think Ash was expecting an adult, meaning Ed, and a kid. I'm still loving this spinoff, despite my criticisms. It hasn't yet reached the heights of the main show's best seasons, but it's still good. I'm hoping the writers don't spin the wheels and they stick the landing, hopefully with Daryl being reunited with Rick. Love your work. Cheers from the capital of Australia. Bye. Aww. Yeah, maybe it would be awesome if they could get Andrew Lincoln to come back for the last episode of the Daryl series.
I would like that. It would be nice if, you know, they all kind of end in the one place that sort of ties it all together. I would be very happy with that. But
even if they, that would be the best. If they could get the whole cast of characters who are still alive together for one last story.
Yeah.
I have my doubts that's possible financially or logistically. But even if they can't do that, I would still be happy just to have Daryl and Rick in a scene together, you know?
At this rate, it'll probably be Daryl and fucking Tobias.
That would be interesting.
Who's available? Tobias. Whatever happened to him?
That actor, Lincoln Castellanos, he was in a great episode of Poker Face as this 7-Eleven clerk. He was really good in it.
That actually does make me happy. Yeah. I did enjoy him on that show.
Yeah, me too. And he was great in person too. We did couple of conventions. All right, here is Anwen, who's a little behind, so she's calling in about last week's episode.
Hi, this is Anwen, and this is feedback for Daryl Dixon and L'Invisible. I just loved the interactions between Carol and Daryl and each of their respective villains. I loved when Carol was having that conversation with Janae, and we've seen Carol be deceptive so many times and she just makes stuff up. And she told her from start to finish exactly what she'd been doing completely truthfully, and Janae just laughed because it sounded so ridiculous. It was hilarious. Loved that. And then Daryl, his first line when he shows up to rescue Laurent, and he just looks over and goes, "Show's over, motherfucker." So action movie was classic. And then later on, when he's lying all beaten up and Losang is going on and on and on, Losang is preach, 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 blah, 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 and Daryl just goes, fuck off. I just thought it was great. Super sad towards the ending when they were sitting there chained up in their separate little cells, Daryl and Isabella, and I was sure she was going to kill herself with that little grate covering, and she just looked so sad, and she was telling us all what was going to happen and all that. And then she didn't, and I was like, I don't know what's going on. But I've just listened to the first part of your coverage, and Dina, I agree, I think maybe she's been bit. Anyway, we'll see what happens. Thank you for your awesomeness. Bye.
Well, good news, she wasn't bit.
So the there's bad good news is and there's bad news.
Thanks, Anwen.
Oh, we love Anwen. So we've got Dina up next, who was fantastic on the podcast last week. Dina says, I've had the strangest day. My new tattoo artist had a wee fling with Norman Reedus in 2010.
Oh my gosh.
Did I mention that I live in the sleepy suburbs of Massachusetts? Of all the gin joints in all the towns. Then I watched Daryl Dixon. freshly watched, in fact. Within 10 minutes, I was filled with a deep and seething anger and resolved that I not only owe you a beer, Jason, but an entire bottle of Talisker, the good one.
Ooh.
And one for you, Lucy, because I like you. I will take that. Thanks, Dina. That was actually the whiskey I'd had a little drink of before we did our recording.
Which one? The 10?
Port Rouge.
Oh, cool.
Well, I think you're supposed to say Port Rouge, but it's spelled Port Rouge.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's like the Gaelic-y, like Ruhia. Anyway, Dina says there was too much suspension of disbelief with Carol escaping the army, never mind the Zed army, and conveniently running into Isabel. Of course I'm pissed off that they killed Isabel. We knew it was going to happen, but yay, not by zombie bite. Still, can't they surprise us? Something about the way Daryl handled Isabel's last moments rang untrue, especially in comparison to his same old reaction reuniting with Carol. How many times do we need to see him crying on her shoulder?
1,000.
It was beautiful the first couple of times, and now it's just boring. Daryl perplexed me, and the Daryl-Carol exchanges just pissed me off. I think because they too quickly replaced Isabel with Carol.
Mm-hmm.
I did sort of sense that Carol's constant mentioning of Judith irked Daryl, and I liked that. Not because of Judith, but because it seemed we were getting an inkling that Daryl was mourning what could have been, bringing his own family back to America to join his other family. Stings even more now that Rick, Michonne, Judith, and RJ are intact. God, there's that rage again. And rage again at the end with the religious right bedding the political far right. That had nothing to do with the show except that it seems to be reflecting real life. Point for the writers. I know I loved a lot about this episode, I must have. This is just the guttural initial response. I still have faith, if only because of that lovely music on the gramophone reminding me that art is hope, as well as the tough old ladies that stand up to fascists. Dina wrote in again later, after listening to the podcast. Shitty writing. That's the crux of it. Absolutely nothing was earned in this episode. Not a thing. Carol or Daryl aren't going to die. No high stakes there. Isabel did not need to die. The writers are too lazy to figure out how to further explore a relationship or at the very least give Daryl the room to have a moment with her without Carol, hovering over them both like a vulture waiting to pick the flesh off the bones. And like I said in my last rant, they just brushed over her death and inserted Carol to replace her, going so far as to have the French couple proclaim that they are in love. They just erased Isabel from the story. She didn't deserve that. Janae didn't need to die. Most realistic villain yet, and they kill her off. Lo Sang is not at all intriguing, and so of course they'll let the loon live. The show is rapidly becoming The Walking Dead all over again. No stakes. The heroes live. Interesting characters die. And I'm not sure I care anymore. Hopefully your feedback episode and the listener's feedback will change my mind. Two bottles of scotch, Jason. Two bottles. Oh, Dina.
No, we're not going to change your minds.
I'm sorry, hon.
Except
here's hoping it picks up.
Yeah, and she didn't even like any of the truffles in the mud, it seemed like, because she was really a fan of Isabel and Daryl, so all of that just stung anything with Carol. Because I mean, as I said last time, Carol was sort of indirectly responsible for Isabel's death because she led the zombies there that distracted Lo Sang, which caused Isabel to try to kill him and or hurt him, and then he stabbed her in a reaction to that. And then she was right there, like you said, hovering over Daryl's shoulder. As soon as Isabel died, she put her hand on his shoulder, and then she took Isabel's name.
I know. And then she literally took her name and her role, and what the fuck? It was so
why
weird.
Why do you do this, Shelby? I wonder if the writers are like, man, everyone loves Carol and Daryl so much, so let's just focus on that, you know, forget all that other stuff we were doing. I'm like, no, you were leading us on a journey. We were invested.
This will make up
credit.
For it. No, it bloody won't.
Yeah. All right, let's see what Robin Springer has to say.
Oh, Robin.
Bonjour, mes amis, c'est moi. Bonjour. J'espère que vous allez bien et que vous êtes heureuse aujourd'hui.
Merci.
Episode, oh my God. I had, well, right from the jump, I had to laugh, and I'm probably going to start laughing right now. Carol makes a break for it, runs her little old lady run to the go-kart, jumps in, and yells back to Caudron, who's chained to the frame, hold on! I actually had to pause because I was laughing.
That's awesome.
That was hilarious. But then there were some, you know, the reunion, very lovely. Daryl does seem like a little boy, un petit garçon, just burying his face. and Carol, but then I laughed again a little bit because I'm saying to myself, get that hair out of your eyes, son. How can you even see? So yeah. He must have heard me because then he tucks it behind his ears. But that was nice. It was a lovely way for them to get back together. Unfortunately, you know, Issa's death, inevitable. Of course, she was going to die. First of all, there she is with that pathetic little drain thing. It's not going to kill anybody. And who ever dreamed that Lo Sang was going to just bury his knife in her up to its hilt? Sure she didn't. There was no way it was ever going to be the three of them. It was never going to be Daryl, Carol, and Issa. It had to be the two of them. And Issa had to go. I liked her so, so, so much. And Carol has never been a favorite of mine. And I so was wishing at that moment that they had just left Carol out of the whole thing. I'm not really digging Carol. But, you know, they did what they did. And then, of course, we run into the lovely French couple living in their beautiful little house on their farm. And, you know, Dee Dee had to die for the old man's treachery. You know, c'est dommage, but it had to happen. But then I'm thinking to myself, these people are in no big hurry to find Laurent. They have dinner. Carol says, well, we can't pitch black out there, which I was like, when has that ever stopped them? But, you know, dinner. They had to give the old man time to, you know, give the stuff away to the bad guys and then, you know, do his treachery. Nice tour of the town.
Yeah.
Very cool idea for the elderly walkers to be kept there on their property. You know, very neat. The chained up walkers on the way in was extremely cool and very disturbing. Mm-hmm. Then they work on the car. Then they have eggs with truffles. And I'm going, hurry up. You got to go. Gotta go.
They spent 2 days there.
And then, of course, a pretty house gets shot up again when Janae shows up with her her people. And I really did not expect her death to come so quickly. I thought something else would. I don't know what I thought, but I was surprised. But also then I'm laughing again because the very cool way that she died, the horrific, horrific way, just reminds me of one of the guys in the movie The Thing who does all that stuff with his face and his head that starts blowing up and everything, and all of a sudden the thing bursts out of its chest. So I was waiting for that to happen to Janae. So it was a wild ride for me, very wild ride. But you know, you should watch the thing at the end with Greg Nicotero explaining how they did that. It's really cool, very cool. Anyway, enough. I'm sure I've gone over. Talk to you soon. A bientôt.
Merci beaucoup. Au revoir. Merci. Very well said.
Absolutely. I definitely need to watch these after the episode.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
We're not watching them because we've got screeners. So yeah, we need to get into that.
Especially this one. Yeah, but absolutely. Because I've also heard that like the Janae actress is really fun in these. And
yeah, I don't really have a sense of her at all. So I feel
got to check them out. All right, one last message. It's from Rachel Teal Edwards, who says, I never finished Fear, but it's hard to imagine writing worse than this. It's worse. It is a lot worse with beer balloons and nuclear bombs that don't really hurt anyone and completely senseless deaths and characters that throw other people off roofs for no reason and just completely change their character each season. It's worse.
I'm dissociated. I'm not listening. So yeah, it's worse.
It really is. That's just what I can remember. It is packed to the gills with awfulness. Yeah. And you think it can't get any worse. And then the next season you're almost impressed that it's actually even worse.
Truly. Like it's baffling. Yeah, baffling.
It is. That's a good word. Anyway, she goes on. Actually, this feels a little reminiscent of Fear when they abruptly killed off great characters and torched original storylines for no logical reason. Yep. behind the scenes stuff. My take is that the writers were either too stupid or too lazy. Sorry if you're listening, writers, by the way, to come up with a reasonable, creative, and enjoyable bridge that connects season one to Carol joining the cast. So instead, they just said, fuck it, just throw everything in the trash and light it on fire. No one will care because Carol's back. But wait, everyone cares. This whole season seems like a waste of time, not to mention an embarrassing and pathetic follow-up to season one, which was so damn good. What the hell was the point of Daryl falling in love and the long-awaited and perfectly romantic makeout scene? We're left hanging, not just because Issa is dead now, but because the writers couldn't even honor that huge moment by allowing Daryl to express himself to Isabel as she's dying, to have an emotional episode in which there was any indication of grief for the loss of his first real love. What about Leah? Just kidding. To fucking tell Carol if anything at all about her. No. Instead, apparently literally nothing prior to the lackluster Daryl and Carol reunion even matters because Daryl's back to his jolly old self. Who is this person? Laughing and joking with Carol the next day. WTF. Oh, they did. They laughed. I loved what Angela Kang did with them, having them like, oh, you're my best friend. What are you, 12 years old? You know, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But anyway, honestly, their conversations after they left the castle didn't even make sense. I felt like I was taking crazy pills. Why is this so nonchalant? Carol says this is crazy, just to let the audience know that she indeed understands that reuniting in France is crazy, but it's time to move on. And oh yeah, what about Issa's death? I actually would have preferred if she'd been bitten. That would at least make a modicum of sense, as opposed to this fleeting moment in which she, what, tries to fight back by scratching Lo Sang's face, and then calm, cool Lo Sang loses his shit and stabs her to death? What?
Yeah.
What? Issa's death was reminiscent of Beth's, purely because it was a complete and utter waste of an awesome and beloved character. Yeah. That's a good point. But with Beth, I sobbed uncontrollably, and with Issa, I screamed, that's it, MITV. It must be joking. I remember with Beth, I was like, wait, what just happened there? That was so dumb.
So dumb.
But alas, this is all too real. So many questions. Why did they lie about Carol being Isabel? Good question. That seemed to be an unnecessary complication. I mean, I just thought maybe they did that because they didn't want to have to explain that Isabel was dead and possibly cause this couple to then not be cooperative with them. Mm-hmm. That's all I could come up with.
Don't rock the boat. But even then, I don't feel like those two were going to be like, what the fuck? You're not Isabel.
Yeah. Get out of here.
Like, get out of here. Like, they'd be like, okay.
Oh, that's too bad. I'm sorry. Anyway, if the car they took the parts from was a whole car, why didn't they just take that car? Well, it wasn't their car. It was that old man's car. Caudron makes it all the way to Mont Saint-Michel just to die with some throwaway line. Tell Dixon I did it for the boy. I don't think he's dead. We saw him.
We didn't see it.
Yeah. How does any of this make sense? I know it wasn't a person that came back. It was a feeling. More lazy writing, so they didn't have to include Rick's return and what it would do to Daryl in the storyline going forward. Yeah, I don't understand why they wouldn't just say that. And to be totally transparent, as I write this, I haven't even finished the episode. Oh, wow. I went to bed with the old man holding them all at gunpoint because I just can't. Well, you missed a pretty good scene at the end there. I hope you went and watched it. I'll watch it later this week when I can tolerate getting punched in the gut with the writing that makes me think the writers actually despise their remaining audience, the ride or die fans, and think we're stupid. But rest well, Isabel. You deserve so much better, as do we.
A nice... Yeah. A nice eulogy for Isabel there, I think.
Yeah. I don't blame you for being upset.
Obvious threat to untold numbers of citizens.
The people it kills get up and kill.
Are they slow moving, Chief?
Yeah, they're dead. They're all messed up.
This is a Walking Dead cast news update.
So Hollywood Reporter talked with showrunner David Zabel. Talked with him about the Daryl and Carol reunion scene. He said there were many different ideas for how we should do that scene. On the one hand, we wanted to earn that moment and didn't want to rush it. We didn't want it to happen too early in the season, and plausibility demanded that it couldn't happen too easily anyway, because plausibility is so important to us in everything we do on the show. No, I'm just kidding. I've added that part. So that became the plan, a mid-season reunion. Norman Reedus and Melissa McBride had really interesting ideas about it, and we all knew it was an iconic moment, getting these two back together. So it had to be huge. The version we filmed was written in about 3 days before we filmed it, which is unusually late for us. We write in advance because this show requires a lot of prep. We don't make big changes on the fly. We might redo scenes, but you cannot make a show like this without being targeted and without having a plan that's been worked on for a long time. But this one, it was just so important to get right. From the beginning, we knew it was the seminal moment of the show, and hopefully when people look back on the whole of The Walking Dead, they'll look back at this as one of the great moments. So that's a lot of pressure. Well, don't worry, because we won't. We're just going to think about Daryl, about Carol saying that she was talking about a feeling. That's all we're going to be thinking about.
That's the one thing we're going to be focusing on, folks, is that, because it's so dumb.
He said about the abruptness of Isabel's death so soon after she and Daryl kissed. He says, "Who?" No, I'm just kidding. Isabel? Oh, yeah. No, he said, we have 6 episodes to tell this story. In a longer season, I don't think it transpires exactly the way it transpires. But in order to get to where we need to get in the time we have allowed, things have to happen fast. The audience really responded to her. I'm not an aficionado of the old school Walking Dead audience, but they're pretty tough on new characters. They liked her a lot. She's really highly rated and appreciated by the old timers, and that says a lot. Clemence is a great actor, and she really threaded the needle of that character. It's beautiful what she and Norman created. It's tough to let it go. But she just cost too much. No.
She was just so damn good, we had to write her out. Yeah.
And then Norman Reedus talked with Entertainment Weekly again about the Daryl Carol reunion. He says, it was written originally different where she finds me in jail, and we talked about changing it. I wanted the emotion to be different, not just, oh, she finds me and I'm weak. I wanted it to start weak, and then he gets out and turns into a killing machine, and then just a record scratch moment where it goes quiet. Everything goes on around us, but the sound goes off, and it's like, is this real? You're right in front of me? So we worked on that. It had to be different than you just found me. The energy had to be out of this world when it happened. It had to be frenetic, just pure adrenaline. I thought it was good, but I don't know. I was also thinking about how they have these really fast, aggressive, powerful zombies in this season to amp up the stakes. Mm-hmm. And then Daryl just goes through and takes him out just as easily as he ever had taken out any zombies. So it just kind of neuters that whole thing, you know, throws that idea out the window.
None of the shows have stuck the landing with variants. Like, I've yet to see one of these shows really kind of convince me that they're more of a threat or that they're changing the stakes in any way. I think it was probably the right call to not have her discover him in prison.
Yeah, maybe.
But I don't know if they quite realize the vision that he's describing there, but I appreciate hearing a bit more about why those decisions were made.
To me, it's just Norman Reedus being like, I want Daryl to be cool, okay? Have him be cooler.
Hey, look, my vacation friend, Norman Reedus, and I.
Hey, don't, yeah, lay off. All right, sorry, sorry.
We're everybody. Pals now.
Just kidding. I take it back. I thought the variant in The Walking Dead was pretty cool when they started climbing things and grabbing at the weapons and stuff. Remember
yeah, definitely.
That? Yeah, because yeah, you're saying you didn't think.
Yeah, but then it just never really amounted to much. It's not really gone anywhere from there.
Well, and then in the finale in Commonwealth, they were like climbing over the walls and stuff, I remember. But then the series ended, so yeah, they couldn't really take it anymore.
Yeah, I just feel a bit like it was like, whoa.
Too late.
Oh, never mind. Too late. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
All right, that is our show, episode 607. Thanks so much for listening, everyone. Next episode is The Walking Dead, Daryl Dixon, season 2, episode 5, Vouloir c'est pouvoir, which means Carol's back, so let's kill off everyone you love and have nothing make sense.
And if you want to write in or leave us a voice message about any feelings you're having that have returned, you can find all our contact information at podcastica.com.
Yeah, and while you're there, check out our other podcasts like... Yeah, I don't mention this one enough, but you should check out Paik and Daphne on Run for Your Lives, where they do a lot of disaster and monster movies usually, and they covered Twisters recently. They had a episode on Trap, the M. Night Shyamalan one that we were just talking about.
Which is excellent.
And they had an episode, they do creative things sometimes, they had outtakes and bloopers of their own podcast.
Oh, fun.
They had one a little while back, the worst movies we've covered, which I kind of love.
Excellent.
So, yeah, if you're into those kind of things, you should definitely check them out.
That's really, really cool.
This episode's made possible by Patreon supporters like Kate Harvey, who pledges their support at patreon.com/JasonCabassi. So thank you to Kate, who is super cool. I published our exclusive Zedhead Show podcast with our top five favorite Rick Grimes moments featuring me, Danielle Demet Jost, and Renee. And it was actually kind of intense because Rick is all our three favorite characters, and amazing. We all have strongly held opinions and we don't always agree. So, but I think it was really fun and interesting.
I think that sounds excellent and I can't wait to listen to it.
All right, that is our show.
Thanks for listening.
Don't get bit, Ajapan Baphomet Samara Wickrama.
Did you know that in Ohio, the state Supreme Court could just ignore the reproductive rights amendment we passed last year?
But so many Ohioans voted for it.
That's why we need to keep extremists out of the court by voting for Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that.
Here's the trick. Just remember, don't stop fighting. DSF. Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes. If you supported Issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue.